Hello and good morning again, everyone. It's always great to see everybody out singing praises to the Lord and studying God's Word. And we have a lot to cover today, so let's go ahead and turn right away to the Gospel of John and open up to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. And we're going to start in verse 35 and read all the way down to verse 42. John chapter 1, verse 35, the Bible says, "The next day John," referring to John the Baptist, "the next day John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, 'Look, the Lamb of God.' When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, 'What do you want?' They said, 'Rabbi,'" which means teacher, "'where are you staying?' 'Come,' he replied, 'and you will see.' So they went and saw where he was staying and spent that day with him. It was about the 10th hour. Verse 40. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, 'We have found the Messiah,'" that is the Christ, "and he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, 'You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas,'" which, when translated, is Peter. Is Peter. So we meet a couple of individuals in our main text this morning in John chapter 1. And the main person we're going to talk about is Andrew. And Andrew is a man's man, if you will. You know, his name actually kind of means manly. I was telling that to Andy this morning, and he said, "I wonder what happened to me." Anyway, so true to his name, Andrew is a fisherman, okay? And Andrew's an outdoorsman type of guy. Andrew's a common laborer. He's a hard worker. And believe it or not, Andrew's actually kind of a quiet guy. Maybe that's where it comes from, Andy. He's a quiet guy, okay? And unlike his brother Peter, we don't read all that much about Andrew in the scriptures. As a matter of fact, Andrew is only mentioned about a dozen times in all the Bible, and four of those are when his name is listed with the other names of the 11 apostles. Even in the traditions of the early church, there isn't a whole lot written about Andrew. There just isn't, okay? But that's not to say that Andrew wasn't important. You see, the times that he is mentioned in the Gospels, he's usually doing something very important. He's bringing people to Jesus. For example, over in John chapter 12, more specifically in John 12, verses 20 through 26, there are some Greeks who want to meet Jesus. And so they talk to the apostle Philip. And Philip, in turn, talks to the apostle Andrew. And Andrew says, "Okay, let's go get Jesus," okay? So together, both of them bring these people to connect with Jesus. Now, back a few chapters, I know you probably just got to John 12, but let's go back to John chapter 6, just over a few pages. And in the first 15 verses of John chapter 6, when Jesus is asking his disciples where they could buy food for this huge, hungry crowd that was with him, it's the feeding of the 5,000, you remember, right? It's Andrew who brings the boy with his lunch of five small barley loaves and two fish, two small fish. He's a small boy, I guess, with a big appetite. And so Jesus then uses that small meal to feed about 5,000 men, not including women and children. And when they're all fed, there are 12 baskets of bread left over. Now, if we go back to John chapter 1, our main text, we find that Andrew's at it again, right? But this time he's bringing his own brother, Simon, to meet Jesus, his own brother. Now, right about now, some wheels should be turning, okay? And if we could have the opportunity to sit down with Andrew, we'd probably ask him some questions. Questions like, So just what's your method, Andrew? How is it you keep bringing people to Jesus? What program do you use? Now, how much does it cost? What's your marketing method? Do you print? Do you do advertising on the internet? Do you do door knocking? How do you do it, Andrew? We really want to know. We want to know. Okay. I think those are some good questions. Okay. Those wheels should be turning. Just how is it that this relatively quiet man brings so many to Jesus when there are a lot of Christians who have trouble bringing even one person to Jesus? What's Andrew's secret? Well, some time ago, a survey was made that included 300,000 worshipers from 2,200 churches representing eight denominations. We're not just talking the churches of Christ, we're talking out there in Christendom, okay? And they found that 75% of the churchgoers reported that they first came to church the very first time because someone invited them. That's amazing, isn't it? But the survey doesn't end there. You see, of that same number, 54%, just over half, said they had not invited anyone to church in the past year. That's ironic. You see, someone invited them to see Jesus, to meet Jesus, but they haven't been doing the same thing. Something is missing there. Apparently, a lot of Christians just don't invite people to connect Jesus like they should anymore. But that begs the question, why? Why would Andrew invite people to connect with Jesus? And can we learn something from that? While so many other Christians don't, what can we do to a Christian or say to a Christian and say, hey, we need to be like Andrew. What can we do? What did Andrew do, okay? Well, part of the reason, it seems to me, that was because Andrew believed that Jesus was worth knowing. Andrew believed with all his heart that Jesus was worth knowing. You see, in the context of our main passage in John 1, we're told that Andrew was one of the followers of John the Baptist. And then one day, John saw Jesus and pointed him out to Andrew and another man and said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." And from what we see in our text, Andrew took John seriously. Because he left John and began to follow Jesus. Notice what happens in our text, right? The very first thing the text says, the first thing that Andrew did after meeting with Jesus was what? He went to his brother. He went to his brother, Simon Peter, and he said, "Hey, you've got to meet the Messiah." Well, why, right? Why was this even all going through his head? Why did he do all this? Well, you see, Jesus was the Lamb of God that everybody had been waiting for. And why would that ring bells for Andrew again? Well, in the Old Testament, lambs were used for sin offerings, right? That's in Leviticus chapter 4, verse 32. And also the cleansing of lepers, and also in the daily morning and afternoon sacrifices of the temple in Exodus 19, verse 38. And of course, there's the annual Passover supper that we're all, you know, really fairly familiar with because of the Lord's Supper, right? Exodus 12, verses 3 and 4. And let's not forget that connection again, though, right? With the Lord's Supper because of Jesus on the cross. That's Isaiah 53, 7. And we're to understand there that, of course, the Lamb is to be the Messiah. So all these things are going through Andrew's head about, behold, there is the Lamb of God, you see. And so when those bells are sounding off in Andrew's mind, he is confident, you see, that Jesus is the promised Messiah. And Andrew is 100% sure that Jesus was the one sent by God to change the lives of the people. And so knowing what he knew, Andrew just had to share what he knew with his brother that he loved, with Simon Peter. You see, Andrew loved his brother too much to have him miss out on the Messiah. Now here's where the proverbial rubber meets the road. The problem with too many Joe Average Christians is that they see church as a religious exercise. They go to church simply because it's what Christian people do. But all too often they see it as a chore.
Gotta go to church today. It's Sunday. I'd rather sleep in. I meant to go to the beach. You know.
Gotta go to church. Or responsibility. Well, I need to go. That way I can impress others, or other people will know I'm there and I'm okay. It's my responsibility, you know. Or some kind of duty to be fulfilled. Well, you know, they expect me to come and get the Lord's Supper out there, so it's my duty to serve. I just need to go to church because that's what I do, you know. That's a slightly incorrect perspective. Let me tell you, about a couple of years ago, I heard this song. Sometimes songs do things to you. You hear songs, you think, wow, you know, that is so enlightening. I heard this song by an artist called Jason Gray. It's a song called More Like Fallen in Love. And the chorus says this about our faith in Jesus. He says, it's got to be more like falling in love than something to believe in. More like losing my heart than giving my allegiance. To be caught up and called out, take a look at me now. It's like I'm falling in love. It's about love, you see. Now that said, I don't believe that none of us here don't love Jesus. It's just that sometimes we don't realize the eternal significance of what we're into. Think about it. When you first fell in love with the one that you believed with all your heart was going to be your soulmate, the one that you were going to be married to, you spent every waking moment thinking about them. Maybe you didn't even sleep that well, right? Do you remember that? Can't be that too long ago for some of us, okay? You spent every waking moment thinking about them. You spent all of your available time with them. You introduce your significant other to your mom and your dad. Say, hey, check her out. Hey, check him. Whichever way you're going, okay? All right? You know, to your brother and your sister. You said, this is the one I'm going to marry. To your aunts and uncles, to your friends, to your coworkers. Now, what if we were to do that and have that much passionate about our love with Jesus? You see, we know that Jesus says in John 6:35, that I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. And here, of course, Jesus is talking about the spiritual hunger and thirst that all people have in their lives that can only be fulfilled by Jesus. And we know that Jesus says in John 11:25, that I am the resurrection and the life, and he who believes in me will live even though he dies. And here again, Jesus is teaching us that Christians don't need to fear death because of the resurrection, because Jesus is the resurrection and the life. And I know that we all know that these are powerful blessings that we all have as Christians. It's just that somehow it never seems to be important enough to talk about in everyday conversation. Even though Jesus told us in John 14:6 that I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. And back in John 3:36, Jesus also told us that whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on him. But still, somehow it never occurs to some Christians that if the people that they love don't love Jesus, then they're not going to heaven. They're going to hell. Just think about that. You know, if there was a fire in your house and you had 6 family members inside, how many would you need to get out of the house before you were satisfied? 1, 2, 3? How about all 6? You see, Andrew felt an urgency to share Jesus with his brother Simon Peter. And that's because Andrew believed that Jesus was worth knowing. And that's the primary reason that you and I should be bringing people to Jesus. And that brings us up to our second reason that Andrew brought his brother and others to Jesus. And that was that he was excited about Jesus. Andrew was excited about Jesus. Now, not only was Andrew excited about Jesus, but he didn't know some of the stuff that we Christians know today. Okay? You see, Andrew didn't know that he needed a Bible college degree to talk to somebody about Jesus. And Andrew didn't know that he needed to go to preaching school to talk to somebody about Jesus. And Andrew didn't know that he needed to construct some sort of complicated theological argument that would overwhelm the people and bring them to some sort of down on their knees repentance in order to talk to someone about Jesus. Andrew didn't know that he needed to be a leader in the church in order to talk to somebody about Jesus. Of course, Andrew didn't know those things because they aren't necessary. They aren't necessary. So what did Andrew know? That's a good question. Well, Andrew knew who Jesus was, and he knew that Jesus loved him, and he loved Jesus. And so, in complete excitement about Jesus, Andrew didn't care about what others thought he was supposed to know. He just did it, and come what may. Now think about what Andrew did. When Andrew approached his brother Simon, he didn't get all tied up in theological jargon. He didn't chase rabbits and start asking about, well, y'all use instruments in worship. Andrew simply says, "We found the Messiah." And then he takes Simon Peter to Jesus. Andrew was kind of like the little boy who had moved from the farm into the city. You know that story? Anyway, he got up one morning all filled with excitement, and, you know, and he was bouncing around the house, you know, and his mother just, you know, she wanted to just sleep in, call it a day. So she put him in his play clothes and sent him outside to play, and he's out there playing around, told him to just play in the yard, you know. And he comes back in about 20 minutes later. He says, "Mama, Mama, everybody has doorbells here, and they all work." Excitement, you see. Up on the screen is Romans 1:16. Let's go ahead and read that together. "I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile." You believe that? Amen. All right. You see, as sinners, we are condemned to hell. All right. But Romans 8:1-2 tells us that there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life has set me free from the law of sin and death. And so John 8:36, "If the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." And that is something to be excited about. To be free of our sins, to be heaven bound, to have a burden lifted from us, you see. And it's all thanks to Jesus. It's all thanks to the promised Messiah. It's all thanks to the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. And so Andrew brought his brother and others to Jesus because he was so excited about what he had found. It simply didn't occur to him that he shouldn't do stuff like that because he didn't know certain things. And because it didn't occur to him, of course, he changed his brother's life forever. Simply put, Andrew was excited about Jesus, and we should be excited about Jesus too. And that brings us up to our third reason that Andrew brought his brother and others to Jesus. And that was because they trusted him, because they knew him. And so Andrew told those who knew him, and we are to tell those who know us, to tell those who know us about Jesus. Now first, let me say this. We are not talking about denying our obligation to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son, the Holy Spirit, Matthew 28:19. We're not talking about denying that obligation, okay? Because we don't know those people all over the world, okay? What we're talking about today is connecting people to Jesus in our own personal, immediate sphere of influence, like Andrew did. Okay. You see, if we do just a little survey of the book of Acts, we would see that it just wasn't individuals who were baptized into Christ. You see, as we read through the book of Acts, we find that those with families, with whole households, well, their families became Christians too. In Acts chapter 10, Peter baptized Cornelius and his household, Acts 11:14. And in Acts 16:15, Lydia and her household were baptized into Christ. And in Acts 16:33, the jailer and his household were baptized into Christ. And in Acts 18:18, Crispus and his household were baptized into Christ. Now, one of the reasons that this most likely happened is because their family knew one another. They said, "Hey, Dad's getting baptized. Mom's getting baptized. Hey, Sally, yeah, look at this. The Messiah, they're saved. Hey, Uncle Billy, they all live together, okay? Come over here. And you see, they trusted them because they knew them. So, you know, they trusted them. And so when Lydia became a Christian, she told the people that she knew who trusted her, her family, and they became Christians too. And the same thing happened with the jailer and with Crispus. And it can happen with us too. Now, while inviting people to get to know Jesus, who knows us, makes it easy, it can also be one of the more complicated parts of introducing our family to Christ. And that's also because your family knows you. You see, they know all of your weaknesses, and they know most of the stupid things that you've done and said that you wish you didn't do or say. And they may have even been offended by you in the past. So it may be important for you to start out by asking for their forgiveness for the things that you had done or said in the past. It may also be critical for you to go out of your way to mend fences, if you will, to right any wrongs that you've done, and to show them love and appreciation. Remember, again, it's been said so many times that most people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And that can be especially true of family. And I suspect that Andrew had a good reputation with his brother. I mean, Simon Peter already knew that Andrew was very religious. Remember, the text told us that Andrew had been a disciple of John the Baptist. But when Andrew invites him to come see Jesus, Simon Peter didn't question Andrew's honesty or integrity at all. He said, okay. Yeah. Andrew says, come see the Messiah. And Peter gets up and goes because he knew that he could trust something that Andrew had to say, because Peter knew that his brother loved him. Just imagine this scenario. Imagine you're sitting around your, table at home, and you're there with your spouse, and come to find out, well, let's just say your non-church-going in-laws. All right. And you're talking, maybe playing cards, and since you're a faithful member of the Lord's church, you invite them to church, you know. But to your surprise, your in-laws immediately protest. They say there's no way in the world that they would ever step foot into a church except for a wedding or a funeral, because churches are filled with hypocrites. Well, after a silent moment, because you have to imagine what's happened just here, you're here with your spouse and your in-laws, and they just said people in the church are hypocrites, and you invited them to the church that you go to. So all of a sudden, your spouse asks their mom and dad, is that what you think we are, hypocrites? Now, if your in-laws thought of you as a hypocrite, that'd be one thing. But clearly, they don't. Okay, so they have a choice. Come or don't come to connect with Jesus. But we won't know unless we ask those who know and trust us. Because we have a better chance of inviting people to come to Jesus because we know folks and they know us, than those that don't know or trust us. All right. The fourth thing to notice about how Andrew brought his brother and others to Jesus was that he invited people at different times and for different reasons. And we too, of course, are to invite people at different times and different reasons to connect with Jesus. For example, back in John chapter 6, Andrew brought the young boy before Jesus with his lunch, right? The crowd is hungry, and this boy seemed to be the only person there with any food, okay? And when we stop and think about it, it seems kind of silly to bring a young boy with a mere sack lunch to Jesus. But it was in bringing that one boy with his meager contribution to Jesus that the whole crowd of people were fed. And they all saw the power of Christ. Now, we offer a similar opportunity here to bring the young ones to Jesus. We have our annual vacation Bible school, usually in July. Just about everybody gets involved with that in one way or another. We have Parents Night Out on the first Friday night of the month. Just happened this past Friday. Happens during the school year. We had 17 young people Friday night. I'm not blowing balloons up again. Anyway, that's all I can. Anyway, and we host the area-wide youth Devo the second Sunday of every other month, all right? And we have Sunday and Wednesday Bible classes for kids. We have treasure seekers right now during worship and probably some other stuff that I'm not totally remembering right now. Anyway, and so Andrew brought a young boy to Jesus in John 6 to connect, okay? All right, a little later on in John chapter 12, Andrew and Philip bring some other people who are interested in Christ to see Jesus. Remember, in the text, we read that there are these Greeks who say, hey, we would see Jesus. And so Andrew and Philip bring them for an intimate meeting with Jesus. And again, we've got opportunities here for us to invite people to intimate meetings with Jesus. We have potlucks. You see, it's not just about eating, right? You invite somebody, you sit down, yeah, have some of that classic meatloaf we usually have and more desserts than you could possibly eat, but you try anyway, and you sit down and you talk about Jesus, okay? We have lunches, all right? And there are people who go out to lunch at other times. Just invite somebody to lunch, okay? We have our Wednesday dinner and Bible class. It's not just about a meal on Wednesday night. Don and Carolyn pitched in the last moment and took care of last Wednesday. Grace and I are cooking this Wednesday, doing chicken again. So come on out, bring a friend. We'll sit around and talk about God, okay? And there's our Thursday morning Bible class that started back up. A great time, especially for those who can make it during the day, usually our senior crowd, to talk about Jesus and invite some folks from our own sphere of influence, those people maybe in our own senior communities, okay? And of course, there are those I know who have home Bible studies, all right? And I'm not sure about all of them. I know some of them, but just ask around and invite someone to a little sit down for an intimate meeting with Jesus, to just be able to sit down and talk about our faith. Well, of course, there's also our main text in John chapter 1, right? And we see Andrew inviting his brother to see Jesus. Now, just how does he do that again? Well, he tells his brother that he has great news, that there's something special going on. So come and see. Come and see the Messiah that I've talked to. And one way that we try to copy that here, what Andrew did inviting someone to something special, is that we try to have something special every now and then, you know? For example, Moms Are Us is starting up again this Tuesday, and that is actually a special thing. Virginia puts a lot of work into it. I know Gretchen does, and Grace does. All the members of the congregation, all the women, try to put as much effort into this as possible, and it's a good ministry. A couple of years ago, there was a woman who was baptized into Christ from that ministry, okay? We have family game nights. And this is a time for fellowship and also to invite friends who aren't a part of the church. We could talk about all sorts of stuff. There's one coming up the last Saturday of this month, starting at 6 o'clock. We have family movie nights, so long as our projector gets replaced, and I'm confident it will. I have plans to show a family faith-based movie in October called The Lost Medallion, okay? And then there's stuff like the Harvest Festival that's coming up on Saturday, October 19th. Yeah, it's a community event, but I overheard some good things already about what George and Quentin want to do with a help desk of sorts. I'm really looking to see what comes from that. And last year, of course, through some happen chance meetings here and there, one person, Sarah, was baptized into Christ because of the Harvest Festival, the work of a number of people who are involved with her. So only God knows who will connect with Jesus this year because of these special events. But we need to make sure to invite someone to them, okay? And whether or not we know it, you know, the point is that we need to be like Andrew and encourage those folks to come and see. That's it, you know, to connect people to Jesus. All right, so again, we saw four things in our main text from John chapter 1, from Andrew, to help us to know how to better connect people to Jesus. And the first thing we saw again is that we really need to believe that Jesus is worth knowing. And the second was to be excited about Jesus. And the third was to tell those who know us about Jesus. In other words, those people who know and trust us. That's a good place to start. And the fourth was to invite people at different times and different reasons to connect with Jesus. Those special events. It makes it easier. You know, then let's say let's have a Bible study. Someone might not be ready for that. Say, hey, why don't you come to our Harvest Festival? By the way, there are these guys at this help desk that want to try to help you. Okay? All right. Well, let me share just one statistic that I came across this week. And that is that less less than 3% of the non-Christian people in the world ever just walk into a church. Okay, less than 3%. Think about that. All of the prettiest buildings out there, okay? And, you know, there are some really fancy, pretty buildings. Very nice, expensive facilities. All those wonderful, fancy programs that some people have that spend all kinds of money doing all sorts of stuff. All that stuff won't save a soul, okay? It doesn't. It's relationships that bring people into a saving relationship with Jesus. And so we, that's you and me, must go to people, okay? And Jesus is our example in doing that. Think about it. Jesus went to where the thirsty individuals were. Jesus met Peter at the docks. Jesus met the woman of Samaria by the well. Jesus met Matthew as he sat at his tax office desk. Jesus met others while they were about their day-to-day life, okay? Jesus went to the people, and we could do the same thing. It starts with the people that we know first. It's the easiest way. Okay. You see, just about everyone can be an Andrew and invite someone to connect with Jesus. And I really do think that we all do that as best as we can. Always room for improvement. I'll admit, even myself, okay? We could all grow. But there's a difference, we want to make this clear, between inviting someone to connect with Jesus by coming to an event and actually helping them to actually connect with Jesus in a Bible study. And we'll talk some more about that very soon. So let me explain that. Over the next 2 weeks, we're going to do a two-part sermon series connected to the Moms of Rust group on sacred parenting. And it's not just for parents, okay? So please don't try to block that out. And doing that, though, listen to what that does. That helps to provide an opportunity to encourage the moms that visit us on Tuesdays to come worship with us on Sundays, since we will be looking at some of the material that they will be looking at, but with a slightly heavier biblical emphasis, okay? We'll talk more about Bible, all right? And then starting on the 29th, as I promised last month, we're going to be looking at a couple of methods of personally sharing the gospel. And this is one step beyond, you see, being an Andrew. That doesn't mean we don't need people to be Andrews and invite people, but for those who can go one step beyond, those are going to be special times for us, because we're going to talk about, well, some methods that anyone who was really willing and able could put into practice to actually share the good news of Jesus Christ in a study. Well, that's spelling it out for you pretty clear. So hopefully you've got that all in your mind now, and you won't, there's a quiz later. Okay. Anyway, this morning, though, it is important to know for sure if you're saved, if you're a Christian. And you can be sure that you're saved by knowing that you've confessed Jesus as Lord and Savior, that you've repented of your sins, that you've been immersed in the watery grave of baptism for the forgiveness of your sins. And then when you come up out of that water, well, hey, you're born again into the family of God. Genesis 3:26-28 tells us that you're all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. Paul says there is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you're all one in Christ Jesus. We're all part of one family. And so if there's any reason that anyone needs to come forward during the invitation song, maybe to be immersed in Christ and be saved, or maybe for prayer or for some other need, you're always welcome to do that. Or if you prefer, you can always visit with one of our elders at your convenience for encouragement, whatever the case may be. If you need to, please come forward now as together we all stand and sing.